Many of you will remember a day, or really a night, during the lectureship at Freed-Hardeman just a few years ago when we had the severe ice storm. It began sticking to the trees late in the afternoon. Before midnight, you began to hear trees crackling, branches breaking. The next day, we saw trees down all over the area. We saw the pine trees and cedar trees, many of them stripped because of the ice. There is another scene of that night that I remember so well that I can shut my eyes and see it. Literally, I can shut my eyes and see what I saw. Sometime after midnight, I walked to the front door and looked out over Henderson in this direction, and there was not a light anywhere. Limbs were popping. Every once in a while, a loud pop would come from the transformer. I went to the back door and looked up in that direction. There was not a light in the city of Henderson. As far as I know, for a short period of time at least, every light in the city was out. There was complete darkness. There was an eerie feeling. I think most of us can continue to almost feel that today. It must have been some 40 years ago that I visited Ruby Falls near Chattanooga. I remember we were lowered into the earth so many hundred feet by an elevator and then got off the elevator and started walking back through the tunnel that was there in the earth back to Ruby Falls. We got what must have been about halfway from the elevator to the falls, and the guide said, "All of you stop and be still for a moment," and he turned off the lights. It was dark. I remember how much better I felt when he turned that light back on. You noticed as you drive around Henderson how many people have night lights in their backyards? And wouldn't you like to have a penny out of every night light that has been sold to be put in the house, to be plugged in? If I had a nickel out of every one that we have in our house, I'd have enough to do something. There is a vast difference between light and darkness. Even you boys and girls that are in the audience this morning just don't like darkness. Some of you don't want to sleep in a dark room. You at least want a night light on. Maybe you want a big light on, a closet light left on. And I think that no matter what the situation is that we're facing, that it seems to be a little bit more difficult to face it at night. If you're sitting with someone at the hospital, if you are involved in a time when there has been the loss of a loved one in a family, there's just something that's a little different when that light begins to come at dawn. There is so much power in light. Let's think about the power of light this morning from different angles. First, thinking about the physical light that we see. We tend to think that that begins in Genesis 1:3, where the Bible says, "God said, let there be light, and there was light." But I guess, technically speaking, the light was already there in verse 1, because God is light. And God was there even before he began the 6 days creation. But at least in verse 3, he said, "Let there be light," and there was physical light in some way. And then at verses 14 through 17, he set those lights in specific ways, giving the sun the right to rule the day and the moon the night, and he created the stars also and put them in their place. And ever since that time, you and I have been able to look at light and be convinced that there is some power behind it all. It is a very beautiful scene to see the sun rise in the morning unless you're driving due east. And certainly that sunset in the evening and the afternoon is so beautiful. And even at night, according to the scripture, Psalm 89, we're told that the moon is a light. We know now that it is a reflection, and the Bible is accurate on that in Psalm 89, verse 37, saying that it is a witness that is there on a regular basis. But even as we're looking about us at night and we see the moon, knowing that it's not a real light in itself but a reflection of the sun, we still have that power to convince us that God is still in charge. And when we consider the heavens, the work of His fingers, the moon and the stars which He has ordained, Psalms 8 verse 3, we truly can believe Psalm 19 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And even the darkest cloud doesn't shut out all the rays from the sun. In the very center of the storm, there is still some light because of that powerful witness that God has, that sun that He put there to rule the day, that sun that affects so many phases of our lives, and that moon that affects even in a physical way the tides and perhaps in other ways. With all of this, the sun and the moon and the stars there to say to us, God is there. God put these there. There had to be some power behind all of this. And you and I enjoy the power of light both day and night because God placed physical light into existence. No wonder Paul said in Romans 1 that we ought to be convinced by the physical things that are around us that there is some power greater than us. And although we cannot explain in nature the details of God, we ought to be convinced, if by nothing else, by the power of light, that God is our Creator and that He is in charge of all things. But from another angle, there is a power of light that is talked about in God's Word in connection with Christ. Christ is a light to draw or a light to save. It's amazing how much the book of John, for example, talks about Jesus as a light, beginning even in the very first chapter of it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then the next few verses, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus Christ is a light that has the power to draw us unto God and the power to save. Just turning a little bit further in the book of John, at the 8th chapter, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the next chapter, verses 4 and 5, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is yet day, for night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Again and again, Jesus said this throughout the book. In the 12th chapter, verse 46, I am come a light into the world. Jesus Christ is that light to draw us to God and to save us. In the book of Colossians at chapter 1, we have those verses that we use so many times to emphasize the reality of the kingdom. But let's go back to verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Then he says, who hath delivered us out of the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. But look at the idea here, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Jesus Christ is that light that draws us. We're told by Peter in 1 Peter 2:9 that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth praises to God because He hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, in whom we have redemption, we are told. And walking in Him in the light, we have the forgiveness of sins, 1 John 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. And the verses just before that, in talking about the fellowship with God in Christ, point out the negative, that if we walk in darkness and we lie, we're not in the truth, we're not in Christ. Christ is that powerful light. Certainly we need to preach Jesus. We need to hold him forth to the world. He is the answer in the world of darkness. Jesus is the light that draws and the light that saves. But from another standpoint, the Bible is referred to as a light. Most of you could quote Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, Paul is talking about this as he writes to the church at Corinth. And he says, beginning at verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds," no light if the gospel's not there, "blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." In that first chapter of 2 Peter, where he tells us that no prophecy is of any private interpretation, and what we have in God's word came as holy men of God were guided by the Holy Spirit. By just backing up one verse into verse 19, we find him talking about the light that is shed through that word. And in Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, as he talks about the idea of revelation, he says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened through the knowledge that comes from the Word of God." I remember Brother Keeble being quoted many times as saying, "Let's cast a little light on the subject." And also saying that the Bible surely does shed a lot of light on those commentaries. God's Word is the light to open unto us the revelation so that we can see, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, Ephesians 3 states, but now is made clear. How would you like to live if you did not know what God wanted you to do? One of the hardest things to do, whether it's in the family or on the job or in the community, in the church, is to try to do something that someone wants you to do without knowing what it is. Where would we be if God had not told us what he wants us to do, if he had not shed light upon the subject? As far as we're able to determine, when we go to God's Word, we can find, at least in terms explicit enough for us to understand, how God wants us to conduct our families, how he wants us to conduct our businesses, how he wants us to deal with relationships in the community, how he wants us to promote Christianity in the church. You name it, it's there. Because God has revealed unto us all Scripture that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be perfect or complete. Now you analyze that for a moment. And he's saying that God has given us in his word everything that we need to know to cast light on the subject. So the Bible is a light to guide. The physical lights give us a light to convince that God is in his heaven. Christ, the very central theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, gives us a light in this world to draw us to him and to draw us to God and to save us from past sins. And the Bible gives us the power of light to guide us in every day of life that we might serve God. And then understanding those three, particularly understanding Christ and the Bible and the influence of light through them, there is a fourth way in which there is a power of light, and it involves us more than any of these others. And that is that Christian influence is said to be in the Bible a light that can persuade and can lead others to the light of the Bible and the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, you know that familiar passage in Matthew 5, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. There may be light in the house." How many of you boys and girls have sung that song so many times, "Hide it under a bushel"? No, you're saying get the light out there where it can be seen. And then that verse 16, "Let your lights not just shine, but let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men. Romans 13, the statement is included, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. That armor that is described as the armor of faith, the Christian armor over there in Ephesians 6, is referred to here as the armor of light. Philippians 2, about verses 15 and 16, describe the world as a type of darkness and says, in it you are shining as lights. You are the lights out there in the darkness. And he's talking to Christian people when he's talking about that. Over in Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Folks, that's the light of a Christian life that he's talking about there. John says in 1 John 2, 9 and 10, that if we say we walk in light and we hate our brothers, that we walk in darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in light. He says if we have the right kind of influence on others, that we are expressing a light that shines out there, maybe sometimes that becomes the light at the end of the tunnel for someone who is hurting or someone who doesn't know the truth of God's word. Someone who has not yet been impressed by the light of Jesus to draw or the light of the Bible to guide may be impressed by the light of Christian influence to at least open his ears and listen. Luke 11, 35 says, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. He's saying you need to watch the influence that you have. If you stop and think about it, this power of light from Christian influence goes in both directions. First, think about the number of people that have influenced you to be who you are and what you are today. Maybe parents, a spouse, grandparents, a friend. I would guess that there is not a one of us today who is a faithful Christian who is who he is without having some great influence from perhaps more than one. Many people, in most cases, who have influenced us with the power of Christian influence, a light to influence us and to persuade us that the Christian life is the best life of all. And then we turn it in the other direction. Think about how we can use our lives to be a light to someone else and maybe bring them to Jesus Christ when there is nothing else that would. Sometimes we talk a lot about the difference between heaven and hell. We talk about the good things that are in heaven, the bad things that are in the other place. And you know, perhaps the one thing that really makes the difference is God Himself. The presence of God is light. The absence of God is darkness. There is a song that we sometimes sing, 250 in our books. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from His lighthouse evermore. But to us He gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor, tempest-tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Certainly we are not to minimize the power of the lighthouse. There's where God, through His physical lights to convince us, through Jesus Christ the Savior to draw us, and through the Bible to guide us, is sending out that beam to the world. Let us not minimize that in any way. But folks, it is also important that we have the lights along the shore. And there have been instances where ships wrecked even though the light was coming from the lighthouse, because the lights had gone out along the shore. And that's why it's so important for us to live the Christian life, not just say it, not just talk it, but walk it. So that not only will people have the light from the lighthouse of God in His Word, but they'll have the light along the shore as they look at the lives that we are living. The power of light to convince, to draw, to guide, and to persuade. What is your relationship to that light this morning? Certainly, as you even look at the windows and see the light coming through, you ought to be convinced that God is there. As you think about Christ, are you not reminded that He wants to be your Savior and He wants to draw you? In fact, that He is the one who is extending the invitation to the one who's not become a Christian or the erring child of God. As you turn through the pages of the Bible, do you not see the light to guide? And certainly as you look around you, do you not see the lights along the shore? And perhaps each one of us should ask the question, am I the light along the shore that I ought to be? The power of light, the terribleness of darkness. And the answer is found in Jesus Christ and Him only. If you need to come to Him today, won't you come as together we stand and sing.